Can I present this agenda to you for an adoption? Honorable Zondi?
Good morning to the honorable members on the platform. And also the department and our guests. I propose that we take the agenda presented to the meeting. Thank you.
Madam Chair, you are inaudible. We can't hear you.
I'm asking that the honorable member must mute. Now I've seen the hand of Honorable Malumana. It's only Honorable Malumana is going to open her mic. It's Honorable Adams. I'm sorry. It's Honorable Adams.
Am I clear? Thank you, Chairperson. I want to second on the proposal of the adoption. Thank you.
Honourable members, the secondment of the agenda. Now I'm putting the agenda that we are continuing our meeting. The first item on the agenda is briefing by the department to you, acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you once again and everyone in the platform. We would, in this presentation, be covering aspects that are related to where SASCOC sits in terms of their mandate, and we'll then speak briefly to issues of MTF allocation and the governance matters as well. Okay. I will just start off with the introductory part of this presentation, Chair, if you allow me, and I would then request that PDG can then take the rest of the slides in this particular presentation. Chair, we are recognizing as a department that in terms of Section 2, Subsection 1 of the National Sport and Recreation Act, it envisages that, sorry, my screen is quite, it envisages a sports conference federation, Chairperson. And this particular South African Sports Confederation is one such sports confederation as envisaged by this act in terms of this clause that I just made reference to. And it gives specific mandates. It defines the sports confederation as a confederation that is recognized by the minister in terms of Section 2, which is representative of sport or recreation bodies, including Olympic National Federations. And then coordinating, it serves as a coordinating macro body for promotion and development of high performance sports in the Republic. So we'll go on with the presentation. However, before I hand over to DDG, I just wanted to indicate, because you would be allowing SASCOC after us to do the presentation, but I just want to indicate, Chair, before that, that in accordance with this act that we are making reference to, and also in terms of their own constitutional imperatives, SASCOC suspended the 8 sport and recreation bodies, and they did inform the department of the suspension. And they would cover in terms of which are these federations, the 8 federations that we are making reference to. So let me not mention them, because I know that they are going to go into detail in the presentation in terms of specifying the names of these 8 federations, sport and recreation bodies that we are making reference to. I just want to indicate, Chair, that the basis for the suspension as per the SASCOC was mainly around matters of non-compliance with SASCOC prescripts. So in their presentation, as I said, they will then provide further details in terms of this. Just to finish with the issues of MTF allocation and also speak to the issues of governance, the overview that we are presenting as the department to the your portfolio committee meeting, I would like to hand over to DDC then to go through with the slides. Thank you very much, Chair. DDC.
Thank you very much, ADG. Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. Good morning to the President and the board members of SASCOC and the management of SASCOC, and to our colleagues on the platform. Chairperson, I think ADG has taken us through the first slide, the second slide, and if we go to the third slide, that I mean the slide that talks about the background. SASCOC supports the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture's strategic objective of high performance athletes supported to achieve success in international sport. And it is a multi-coded sports body responsible for the preparation, presentation and performance of teams to all multi-coded events. And these multi-coded events are like the Olympic Games, the Paralympic Games, the Commonwealth Games, the World Games, All Africa Games, or now called the African Games, the Olympic Youth Games, the Commonwealth Youth Games, and the African Union Sports Council Region 5 Games. Madam Chair, in terms of the MTF allocation, the funding that is given to SASCOC, you would see over the last 3 years what our allocations have been to them. In 2021-2022, it was 11,701,000. In 2022-23, it was 12,009,000. And in 2023-2024, it was 12,055,000. In terms of governance matters, Chairperson, I think the ADG has spoken about it, that in terms of the Act and in terms of their own constitutional imperatives, SASCOC has suspended the 8 sport and recreation bodies, and they will speak through to them. And I think the next slide that we have on slide 7 also speaks about those slides. And at the moment, Chairperson, SASCOC will, in their presentation, indicate details of their progress. We will await SASCOC completing the process, whereafter they will then provide the department with a full report. In areas where disputes cannot be resolved by SASCOC, the Sport and Recreation Act then indicates how the matter is then escalated to the minister. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Honorable DDG, they can be honorable. There's nothing wrong. Now, the next presentation, let's give the chance to the president of the SASCOC. To you, President.
Thank you, Chairperson. The person that's going to lead the presentation is going to be our Chief Operating Officer, Ms. Patience Shikombana. Patience, if you are ready.
Good morning, President, and thank you. Good morning.
That's half of it,
Mr. Kambana. Is it half?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you,
ma'am. Good morning to the Honorable Chairperson Mamdlulane. Good morning again to Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. To our President, Honorable President, First Vice President, Mr. Melane, to the board members in attendance, our CEO and colleagues. May I also greet our ADG, DDG, and members from the department. A very good morning to everyone. I'm just going to take you through the presentation of SASCOC. We've been asked to talk about the process on why the 8 members were suspended by SASCOC at the General Assembly. And just to indicate that SASCOC's highest decision-making body is the General Assembly, where about 85 members attend that meeting, and decisions taken there are resolution that the board then implements based on the outcomes of that meeting. In terms of membership compliance to good governance, or maybe let me start indicating that before you become a SASCOC member or you have an interest to want to become a SASCOC member, you need to meet the 5 points that are before you in the presentation. The first one, you need to have a constitution as a national federation, and also there must be democratically elected executive, which operate in a transparent, accountable, and responsible manner. I know that some people or some structures will come in and to be members of SASCOC, but until they convince us so that they've met the first point and they've got a statute, then we're able to look at it. Secondly, they must be properly constituted and operate on a democratic principle. And in most cases, when you say properly constituted, we know that when you talk sports organization, it's a number of people with interest in playing a particular sport that will come together to want to start a club in a community. And therefore, when you say properly constituted, is that they'll come together and agree that you want to establish a rugby a club, and therefore we need to develop certain documents that we must have, and therefore then you must then end up electing a proper structure. I'm saying this because we are aware that some of federations in the past used to be run by family members or cousins, and there was no proper structure that were put in place when they came to become members of SASCOC. Number three, that organization must demonstrate a sound level of management and financial accountability. I'll talk about what is it we'll ask them to send us as evidence that they'll be able to show that they've got sound level of management and financial accountability. They must be structured in accordance to our geopolitical boundaries. It is very clear, it's what we emphasizing to our members of SASCOC, that your footprint in terms of sport, you need to follow the geopolitical boundaries. You should be in a ward, and my ward, which a number of clubs in a ward are going to then come together to become either a local sports structure, and then they are going to be members of a district according to our 52 district, and then be a member of a province. And that organization also must recognize the SASCOC Constitution and Sports and Recreation Act because it's going to be acknowledged or recognized by the member, and therefore they have to adhere to those two things. So once they've managed to meet those 5 areas that I spoke about earlier, then we'll request them to submit this document as evidence. So they'll give us their constitutional statute, copies of audited financial statement for their previous 2 financial years, list of office bearers and their contact details, because we need to make sure that it's not a fly-by-night structure, list of their affiliates and contact details, summary of international activities of the applicant for the previous 2 years. So obviously we know that even if you might have a national footprint, but you do belong to either a continental or an international body. Summary of national activities of the applicant in the previous 2 years, what activities have you been running in the country, number of registered members in the geopolitical boundaries. Our criteria is clear that at least you must exist in 5 provinces for us to finally tick a box and say you've reached most of our provinces in the country. And then you must also give us minutes of the most recent AGM or general meetings that you have had. And that is part of the evidence to say that it was just not 2 or 3 people who sat together to establish the structure, but it does exist and all those documents are there. So you've been accepted, now we are a member, and obviously you have then to comply annually. I need to indicate that we did at some point at SASCOC experience a lot of challenges in terms of the membership adhering to good governance. And noting that then at SASCOC we decided that we need to develop norms and standards on good governance. And these norms and standards is a document that help our federations to ensure that they meet the annual compliance requirements. But over and above that, I think we all know that for us as a sector to be credible, it is important that on issues of good governance, we need to make sure that really we're showing that we are a structure, a sector that complies into that. And therefore, for them to remain in good standing, then there's three things that are in the document of norms and standards. We first allow the members to assess themselves in terms of the good governance practice assessment tool. And once they've done that, then they're going to look at it and also peruse the documents that they will have submitted to us. So in terms of the, just to share with the honorable members, is that that norms and standards document, they've got three norms. One, it talks to a good governance structure. And then the second one talks to good governance documents and governance processes. And just to share, or just to give examples when you talk, but please go back to the previous one. What about it? So when you talk about governance structures, in most cases we're making reference to two aspects, structural one. And when you're talking structural one, it's exactly what I was saying earlier, that they must be able to demonstrate to us that they've got clubs which are part of their members, and they've got a district organization, they've got a national one, and then they're affiliated to a continental or international federation. And for us to have evidence on some of these things, we actually ask them to submit to us a letter that confirms that they are members in good standing according to those structures. On the other side, on good governance structures, also there should be a reporting forum. And the reporting forum, if you've got those structures, you still have a responsibility to report to your shareholders. And in that way, then we'll need them to be able to show us minutes of where they've had meetings. So then I know that most of our federations, they have two council meetings in a year. One is going to be a general one, and the second one, it becomes an annual general meeting. So those are the kind of evidence that we need. In terms of governance documents, it's around them illustrating to us that they've got a constitution, annual reports, audited financial statements, and all that. And then in terms of the governance documents, I think I've spoken to this, but they'll annually give us the updated constitution. Some do amend their constitution because as things evolve, some of them, they have to adhere to what changes at an international level up to the national level. They have to submit, as I said, AGM, general meeting minutes. One of the key things there is that we also need to be sure that they are adhering to their constitutional obligations in terms of notices being sent on time, agenda being sent on time, and obvious that people have complied to confirm who has been mandated to be part of the meeting. Audited financial statements, the annual reports. I think I've spoken to the issue of them submitting letter from the International Federation, but also they must also give us the list of the commissions and committees that they have. Just like us as SASCOC, we've got a board, but the board has got its subcommittees, which most of the board members did indicate as they introduced themselves, which commissions they are responsible for. And then also they must give us the structure of the organization or the organogram. So in terms of the, we also ask our members to complete a membership audit form. And the first one that we ask is it's them to indicate to us their NF structure and also indicate in the provinces where they are and also who are their associate members. And then they must also illustrate to us in terms of where are their footprint in the 52 districts. They must also be able to give us documents that indicate the demographics of the executive members in relation to gender, race, and people with disabilities. We also do ask for stats from their side in relation to athletes, coaches, managers, and administrators. I know that some of federations do have facilities that they own, but we also do ask them the access to facilities in terms of are they privately owned or do they lease them or the federation themselves to own those kind of facilities. And then obviously to request the federation to give us their yearly calendar of meetings and events. One of the key aspects that as SASCOC we started to push and emphasize to the membership is the issue of safeguarding. 2019 we had an opportunity to have a conference to talk about safeguarding, and subsequent to that conference that was held, and then we then developed a policy that was endorsed by the membership. But a policy of SASCOC does not help, because SASCOC does not run the various individual sports. The autonomy of national sports federations belongs to each and every sports code that are members of SASCOC. But then we then also agree that if SASCOC has got its own policy, we therefore requested the membership that they must also develop their own safeguarding policy. And we took a decision at the General Assembly that if you're not going to have that policy by a certain timeline that has been agreed upon, then you might be suspended as a member of SASCOC. At the general meeting that was held on the 22nd of April 2023, we had an opportunity to do a presentation to the membership about issues of compliance to good governance and also membership issues. And our chairperson, who was part of the meeting, did a presentation on members that were non-compliant to good governance practice. And out of all the members that we had, eight of the members did not qualify. And I must say that what we use, we've got a document, it's called a robot document, which indicates that you green, which green indicates that all is in order, and then red, you're non-compliant. Then we also had an amber one, which was basically saying that you submitted some you did not. And I think at the same meeting, the membership said, we are either compliant or non-compliant, and therefore we remove the amber one. So it means it must either be green or be red. So in that meeting, then we realized that eight of them are not in good standing, and I think then a decision was taken to suspend them. And the members that are suspended are the ones that are listed here: Chess South Africa, South African Handball Federation, South African Golfball Federation, Power Boat Racing South Africa, South African Underwater Sport Federation, Eastern Cape Sports Confederation, Northern Cape Sports Confederation, and Northwest Sports Confederation. In relation to intervention, I think it is important to inform the members of the portfolio committee that we just don't decide and get into a general meeting and members then are going to be told that they're going to be suspended, or a proposal is put forward to the membership that they're not suspended. There were one-on-one meetings that were held with them in relation to their state of affairs as members of the SASCOC. And in the meetings that were held, these are some of the issues that they raised why they're not compliant. Some of them, obviously, saying the issue of COVID is impacting on their functionality. Some of them were indicating that the funds from the second lotto. And the key one, which is always a big thing within all structures, is that once there is new members elected to the executive, the previous ESCO is unable to hand over functions and not done. But I think the other bigger one that is always an issue with our federation is what from a fight of problems that really hinders them focusing on what they're supposed to do. A request was also made from these members that must use an extension for them to be able to attend to the areas that they are non-compliant. And yes, this permission was given to them. But at the presentation that was done at the General Assembly, the membership in the entire system, we can't really continue to nest structures that are not willing to really be compliant into membership compliance and governance, and that when the decision was taken, that they must be suspended. And I must indicate that the suspension was guided by SASCOC Constitution and its bylaws. The lifting of suspension, you can safely say that it will only be done once a member has complied to all the requirements that are needed. But you can say that out of the eight that were suspended, the three that are listed, the necessary documents that are outstanding, and South African Handball Federation, Eastern Cape Sports Confederation, Association of Red Cross Federation, their suspension has been lifted in Omshen with five that are still not in suspension. So these are the five that still remain not in compliance. And I think from our side we have agreed that we give them until the end of November for them to be in good standing. And I must emphasize, Madam Chairperson and the portfolio committee members, that we're still going to continue to intervene and assist them to ensure that they meet the requirements that are needed for them to be in good standing. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Just patience. Thank you so much. Honorable members, can you now have our deliberations, questions, suggestions? Now is the time for that. Let me check. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Zondi. I'm seeing the hand of Honorable Maloman, Honorable Adams, Honorable Sibia, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Denise, in that order. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be quick. The National Lottery Commission reported recently that a high number of national federations were rendered non-compliant. Not account for the fund provided by the commission. Now, today's submit progress report, how does SASCOC and the department ensure that member federations are compliant and ensure that the account funds allocated to them by either the department, the commission, and other donors? That would be the first one. The second one, Chair, noting that there is a point on updated constitution under governing documents, have there been any setbacks due to having knowledge of the previous constitution? The third one, Chair, when was the last follow-up on the side of the department to SASCOC on the update of the status of the five suspended members? And the last one, Chair, would be, what is the SASCOC assessment of the recent Netball World Cup? Did it live up to SASCOC expectations? What does the SASCOC believe were the successes and shortcomings, as well as lessons for the future? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zondi. Honorable Adams.
Am I honorable? Thank you. Spend much time on this. My questions will be as follows. With regard to the democracy of the executive, and how is the composition of people at the moment. We note and are happy with the progress of the three members suspension that were lifted. We trust that they will comply henceforth and operate well. How is the department planning to assist in terms of ensuring the status of suspension of the sports and recreation bodies that are affected progress? And the last question. In May 2021, Parliament asked to be a facilitator between the two board rooms or room sections at the test of Africa. The boardroom battles have continued for years and have a negative impact on the sport of chess. What has SASCOC done to engage the two factions since the last engagement with Parliament on the matter? what intervention did SASCO do prior to the suspension of South Africa? My last one, Chair. Can SASCO and the department provide a figure on how many national federations out of 77 SASCO affiliations had financial statements and held the AGM in 2022? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Honourable Lee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to everyone. Thanks for your presentation. What has been the challenges of the 5 remaining members when inquired about complying? The other one.
Why would SASCO not yet present the document when asking who was the president of the country? The SASCO set guidelines for federation on how for governance is presented to the federation.
Apologies, Chair. We cannot hear the speaker, please.
Okay. Try to talk to your mic, Honorable Speaker.
Okay.
Thank you.
My fresh. The last one. Okay.
The last two, please, Chair.
Last two. Okay. Thank you, President.
Yes. SASCO have guidelines for federation on how poor governance be prevented in the future. Do federations constantly review their safeguarding policies? I thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honorable Sibia, Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, with regards to compliance, thank you for the presentation. I want to mention, with regards to compliance to good governance, the president of SASCOC on the meeting of 16 May said to this body or this committee that within 2 days we will receive responses on outstanding questions. It's now the 1st of September and we are still waiting. And some of the questions today are on the federation that has been suspended. So my first question is with regards to the safeguarding policies. I want to know how many of the federations, many still have not adopted safeguarding policies, and if any of them have been suspended because they don't have that. And the same with the financial statements. I want to find out whether SASCO and the department can provide a figure of how many national federations are compliant in terms of the producing audited financial statements and holding of AGMs are in good standing and provision for good governance. I actually asked in my written questions for a grid because I have it on record. I think one of the members asked what procedures did SASCOC put in place to assist the federations that does not comply. And I have received a communication that on the 23rd of January, we all know that with CHESS, there was an outcome of 3 judges that give a recommendation on who the legitimate board is. And they have written to SASCOC to request a meeting and assistance in obtaining documents of the federations in the provinces the next I saw the response of SASCOC, and then the next day they were provisionally suspended. They received a notice of that. So my question is then also what did SASCOC then do to assist CHESS South Africa to become compliant? I also mentioned in the previous meeting that I received a letter, which I can provide to this committee, that SASCOC actually supported the department illegal board that is withholding the financial statements, which makes it very difficult for the legal board to the legitimate board to provide these documents to SASCOC. So I want to know how SASCOC is going to interfere and how is SASCOC going to assist that. Because at this stage, the members of the rest of the provinces were invited, but these bodies couldn't provide the letters of good standing. So SASCOC must explain to me how they can then be legit if they couldn't provide documents to the board of the legit group that they are in good standing. Because according to your constitution, that is part of the what you need to be to show compliance. So if they're not in good standing, how can they, if they don't provide the documents? And then also I understand that they didn't, or they couldn't provide the financial statements, but again, 2017, the illegal board must provide that. 2020, they only became, the outcome was only in February 2022. So before that period, the illegal board, they are withholding those documents. So again, what is SASCOC going to do to, from the province side to get the outstanding documents? And then I want to my last question. Let me just find that. My last question is on the athletics. I want to know what is SASCOC's assessment with the Athletics South Africa Dismal Performance at the 2023 World Athletics Championship. And what are the lessons going forward in preparation for the 2024 Paris Olympics? Thank you. Yes, Chairperson, I did say thank you.
Okay, it's okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Tenyo.
Thank you, Chairperson, Komonikoor, and thank you for the presentation. I covered by most of the questions, Chairperson. I just wanted to clarify on a few things. I've heard again this morning the statement about boardroom politics, powers in the boardroom, or the fact that, and it brings to my question, the fact that there's always, there should be fair, open competition in terms of electing leadership. And when people are on the boards and they differ, there should be either consensus or a vote, how the organization must move forward. But it brings me to the question on legal fees. Or sometimes the elected people has an almost like an unfair advantage over people who do not get paid to do the job and who are not in positions that they can use the entity's money or the federation's money to defend themselves. So it is also time that the SASCOC provide us with legal fees that they spend for the issues that they are facing that comes to them and that they have to get a legal opinion on clarity on certain positions or defend the board's decision. And also in the federation or confederations, how much legal fees is spent there between those power levels and power struggles that goes on. Because sometimes if there's too much leverage there, Chairperson, then we lose the focus of why we are elected and what is our mandate. So that's why I'm always focusing on the use of legal fees. We're working with public funding. That can also be supplied in writing to our Chairperson if SASCOC do not have the information at hand this morning. Then I would like to ask Chairperson, after suspension, after they've gone through a process and they've come to conclusion that a code or federation or individual must be suspended. My question is, after suspension, what do the federation how does the federation operate administratively, and do they still report to SASCOC? In other words, after the suspension, what is going on in that federation or confederation? And is there any monitoring of still compliance of other work that is cut-off dates and compliance? Or is the federation just left on its own just to try and see how they can find themselves in a position to be compliant? Chairperson, then I've just two more questions. The handing over of funding, of the transfer of money to the federations, I just want to again to hear is there a specific date or time frames that it happens, and does it, the transfer, the allocation of money happens on time as per the agreements or per the rules? And then I wanted to know, Chairperson, my last question is the performance of athletes. It's obvious that SASCOC must have a plan, you know, for improvement, medium and a long-term plan. So they must just indicate whether the plan is in place, whether it's working, and whether it's working on all the codes, or whether some federations or sports codes need some review in order to improve the performance of athletes. For now, I thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Dennis, Honorable Mteto.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chair, I don't have much questions for ASCOC. Instead, I have compliments, and I wish to commend them greatly for the consistency in hammering the need for professionalism. I've heard the presentation, it revolves around good governance and compliance, and I'm asking myself, why is SASCOC before us and not the culprits who are not compliant? I'm a fan of SASCOC. FIFSA is one of my flagships, which was following definitely the model that is set by SASCOC. And today I'm actually also might see them before us, because I'm saying this is what I've been yearning for, especially for the arts and culture. So for me, I don't want to set a wrong precedent. I see ourselves sitting here and saying we want to plead the case of federations that are not complying. When the SASCOC presentation came, clearly stipulates what are the issues of compliance. And I'm worried that if we continue to seek sympathy on behalf of those that did not comply, we might find ourselves next time sitting with 20 odd federations who have not complied. And they will cite the fact that when others were not complying, you were able to plead their case. I do not wish to do that. And I just want to say, congratulations, SASCOC. I hope the department and all of us, we are learning from this situation, because this is what we are yearning for. The sector, arts and culture, is not moving because it has similar situations where people are not concerned about good governance and compliance. The issue of family members running organizations and yet are funded by the department. Even when we question the issues of why are you funding these organizations that are not compliant, we don't get answers. That's why we're forever sitting with issues in the arts and culture. Thank you, SASCOC. Well done. I commend you for what you are doing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member, Honorable Mteto, Honorable Shongo.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair and colleagues. I apologize about the load shedding. I won't be able to show my face. Chair, I want to welcome the presentation, and I want to ask, especially with you, in fact, to put it clear. When you ask Sascock question, we don't plead to not implement a rule of law or good governance. We're asking questions for us to know how to mitigate other issues for history not to repeat itself. It's a question that we are pleading on behalf of anyone or any federation or sporting code. We believe of good governance, and we believe that what Sascock is doing is right, but we have a question if there are any consequence management or any gaps to address this. One of the questions that I wanted to firstly to find out from Sascock, which is I see that the position on the website, which is SAGF Development Management Position and Boxing South Africa Human Resource Management Position. When are they going to be those positions are going to be occupied? And one thing that I wanted to ask, any human resources, any other position, is your office fully equipped administratively, so to say, or any gaps that we must know about? Chair, I'm covered with other questions, but I wanted to ask Issa Skok on the question that you asked last time, especially relating to different federations. What relationship, or yes, I see the requirement, you saying membership is fine because financial status and everything, but the relationship that you have with different sporting codes, I want to make an example. SAFA. Banyana Banyana played in East Rand Stadium, and whereby they were preparing for the World Cup. Was SAFA, Sascock aware what was happening on the day? And what is the weight or leadership from SAFA, from Sascock to SAFA on what happened? Because you are leading this federation. Now, what are you saying about what happened during the World Cup preparation at Israel Stadium? And what is your response to that right now? Because they are part of the federation. And yes, they can give you papers, people can give you papers, requirements, and everything. But that they eligible and active to the law. And whatever that they do, you are doing.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Gondromani. Also, must not forget that it's heritage sometimes that we must embrace.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the members of the Portfolio Committee, our guests, our staff. Let me also welcome the presentation. My first question, it will be that as members of the Portfolio Committee, we have to do off the side. My question is to be based on platform so that they ensure that the department and the committee have reviewed documents so as to assist in assessing the fight that are non-compliant and those who are in participation, so that if maybe we can have documents so that we can also check what is happening, so that we can also have information. The second one, it will be about the issue of relationships. It's based on Sascock. Its relationship with BRICS countries in terms of building collaborations and relationships around high-performance sports. Are there any conversation around forming partnership around funding research coordination of sports with BRICS countries? As you know, that we're hosting BRICS as South Africa. The other one, it goes to the department. Regarding the allocation of funds, some members cited the allocation or the assistance from the department had been a challenge leading to their state. Is this METF allocation enough to ensure that such issues are dealt with? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Marloman. Can other members lower their heads? Well, now I'll be speaking firstly to the department, and then the SASCOC must follow suit, and then the hands will be raised after every question has been answered in both department and SASCOC. And then if you have got follow-ups, you are allowed, Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, and thank you to the honourable members for the question. CDC Pan would lead in terms of responding to the questions that were specifically addressed to the department. Through you, Chair, CDC, please.
Thank you very much, AGD. Thank you very much to the members for the questions. I must indicate, I may have not got all of it, but I can be reminded because some of the times the network was not great. Just to indicate on the issue of tests, person, I know SASCOC will think more about it, but just to indicate our own involvement with CHEC. You'll recall, Chairperson, that CHEC came before the Portfolio Committee, you know, sometimes in 2021-22, and there was a resolution that by ourselves and SASCOC will work with the South Africa to look at, you know, the issues that are plaguing them and see how we finalize the AGM. There has been much interaction with Chair South Africa at the time, Madam Chair, where we worked with both the parties to try and get them together. We were also mindful, Madam Chair, that there were matters before the courts at the time. And as a department and even as CIF, as a SASCOC, we mindful of the time of the fact that if we get involved with them where there are legal issues, we as entities would be then cited. So I think we were mindful of that, and we wanted to avoid such a situation. So we tried to help them as much as possible so that we don't become implicated in any of their legal issues. But by and large, Chairperson, the whole issue of Chess South Africa was a lack of good governance. It was non-compliance, and SASCOC can speak about that. And obviously the issues of the fact that there's legal issue, there's matters before the court. But we do have a timeline, Chairperson, of all the information, all the interventions between SASCOC and ourselves, you know, dating back right from 2018. And I think, you know, when the matter came before the SASCOC board as well, there was a chronology of activities that was presented as intervention by SASCOC. And ourselves as well, working with SASCOC on many of these things, because it was not before, the whole idea was for us to assist them to get, you know, all their governance matters in order, so that it doesn't come to a stage where now the minister has to go and intervene. So that was the step to get them going, Chairperson, because if you look at this as a code of sport, they have a big presence in terms of the school sports structure as well. And we were now going to, if we needed to actually deal with this very decisively, because there was a whole body of young children who were being deprived of an opportunity to participate. And I think between both parties, the worry or the concern was the interest of the athlete was far from them, and it was more the boardroom that was, I mean, the leadership and their own personal agenda that was more important to them. But I think the matter, SASCOC, I don't want to go into the area that SASCOC will speak about because they are dealing with that. We have been working with them even now where they have been put under administration by the international body. So we have been working with SASCOC, you know, to actually assist the international body in terms of care. Then, Chairperson, the other area was the question that was asked around the funding, the transfer fund, the transfer of the allocation to the Sports Federation. Chairperson, we as the national department, we work with at least about 60 federations. I think there was a question around, you know, how many of them submitted financial statements. There are 60 federations last year, in the last financial year, who got funding from us. For a code of sport to receive any funding, there has to be compliance on our side as well. And one of it is that in terms of the PFMA, they have to give to us the audited financial statements that have been presented to the AGM. And 60 sports federations have complied and they received funding. In terms of the transfer for this financial year, Chairperson, we put out a call to all the federations with a closing date of the 31st of July for them to submit to us their applications. And on the 31st of July, or just before the 31st of July, we received a request from SASCOC to indicate that the federations are indicating that they have not finalized their applications. And they were requesting an extension. We extended the submission date to the 18th of August. And after the submission date of the 18th of August, there is an adjudication committee that have been sitting and looking through all the documents. We had a process of actually finalizing, having our own internal there's a preliminary compliance process where we have our own team looking at all the documents so that when the adjudication committee sits, a lot of the work, spade work, has been done. The committee has been sitting in this last week, Chairperson, and the work, we don't have a report as yet because I think right up to yesterday, we were still working on the adjudications. So that is work in progress, Chairperson. With regard to the transfer. So the transfers are also dependent on, I mean, when it will be finalized, it will be dependent on us making sure that, you know, the SLAs are prepared by our legal services and vetted. We send it out to the federations for signatures, and then we can effect the transfers after it goes through the processes of approval. And then I think I've covered most of the issues, Chairperson. If there's anything, please, I would like for the colleagues and for the members to alert us if there's anything outstanding. But I've covered a lot of the things that was asked of the department. I've covered all the allocation of funds, etc. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Do you still have someone to respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think unless there is a specific area we did not cover in responding, we would hand back to you. I think also suffice to say, what also becomes important is that on the side of the department, the interaction and engagement with SASCOC is almost on a daily basis, because we have a director on our side that is specifically appointed and a chief director that are dealing with issues of federation support. So it becomes something that we cannot say when last did we actually get feedback from SASCOC, because the interaction between us and between us and SASCOC, as I'm saying, Chairperson, is on a daily basis. We noted also the advice from honourable members that arts and culture must also look at how sport functions so that they can deal with issues of governance. I think which is also true, Chairperson, because it's important that we've got enabling legislation that allows us to do what SASCOC is actually being able to do, because they are enabled by a piece of legislation, as has been indicated. Thank you very much. I will get back to you at this stage.
Thank you so much, Akintichi, and your colleagues. Can I give it to the SASCOC president?
Thank you, and thank you to the committee members for their questions. I just want to reiterate the statements by the acting DG and by DDG Khan. The relationship between SASCOC and the department has grown immensely, and that has enabled us to work as a partnership to grow sports in South Africa. And we want to thank the minister and we want to thank the department for in that regard as well. The 20 questions that referred to SASCOC are as follows. The first one dealt with the NLC. SASCOC is required to send a letter of good standing with regards to national federation's applications. And the NLC then follows its own assessments of applications, and SASCOC doesn't play a role in that assessment. So that is SASCOC's fundamental responsibility with regards to NLC funding. And SASCOC also applies for its funding. We have to comply with all the requirements of the NLC. And this also applies to the department with regards to the NPO criteria, as well as the SAS certificate. The setback from the previous constitution, even our constitution was adopted this year and approved by the International Olympic Committee as well as the International Paralympic Committee. We're still awaiting their letter, though, from the IPC. So as our constitution evolves, we expect our federation constitutions to evolve. For example, with regards to the athletes' commissions, we require that each of them have one, and we're working with them now to establish that as well. As well as the safeguarding policies. Those were new developments, and we're assisting them in that regard as well. Our assessment of the Netball World Cup, we are also awaiting the results of the report of the board, and just like with ASA, which was questioned later on, we will be sitting with our federations on one-on-ones with regards to their plans for the future, and especially with regards to our OPEC funding, which at this stage only funds individuals. And we sit with our federations on a one-on-one basis to plan and identify the athletes for OPEC, as well as for the development of the athletes with regards to Paris 2024. But for us, we really, the focus is on Los Angeles 2028. But as this was not part of the agenda, there's no detailed answer with regards to our approach with the results of Netball or the results of SAFA or the results of ASA, but we can put that together for another meeting for the portfolio committee. The demographics of executives on sitting on various boards. With regards to SASCOC, we are completely compliant around the issue of demographics, but also on gender and also on youth. So those are the issues that we take into account when we put when we structure our board and elect and also select our independent members and the Athletes Commission members and the co-option of other board members to SASCOC. And as part of the EPG assessment, government takes into account the other demographics with regards to the membership of the individual sports members. The boardroom battles, the boardroom battle in SASCOC, that has ceased. And SASCOC is, to use a cricket term, on a very good wicket. We have managed to turn the organization around, but we still find that in some of the federations that this still happens. And that there are disputes, and therefore we have a dispute commission or is a dispute group with staff allocated to that, where we try and assist our federations with regards to disputes. Yes, we do intervene when we receive letters, and we try and sit down with our members to try and first mediate and then try to arbitrate through an independent process with our members. The figures of the financial statements, we cannot provide you with all of them at this stage, because but if you need us to do so in writing, we can inform you of all the federations that have complied. Essentially, the ones that were suspended could not provide us with that sort of documentation as well as in some cases the safeguarding policy documents. So those are just two of the elements that they were not compliant in, and as a result were suspended. The challenges remaining for the five, we are working with the five, and we are working with CHESS as well. And let's speak on the matter of CHESS, because this covers several of the questions later. The CHESS matter is now sub judice, because CHESS, the two members who form part of the executive, have gone to a group called AfriForum, who released a public video, and then two, they have now instituted court action against SASCOC. So a lot of the questions cannot be answered because it is now part of the court process. But with regards to CHESS, international CHESS organization FIDE recognized the problems within CHESS South Africa, have now instituted a reverse delegate, in other words, the person that's going to handle the CHESS matters in South Africa, and has also formally written a letter to all of the stakeholders in this case, requesting urgent elections, democratic elections to take place. And the only way we can achieve this is by working together with the various components of CHESS, the various members, but also under the guidance of the reverse delegate of FIDE. And that was our commitment to FIDE from the very onset, when they decided on the urgency of the matter to get involved and ensure the CHESS structure and the CHESS organization operates properly, democratically, as well as with good governance principles. SASCOC provides the guidelines on good governance, and therefore if people don't comply or federations don't comply to good governance, they are in fact applying poor governance, and we make them aware if they do not forward this relevant documentation and criteria to us. So that's how we ensure that poor governance is recognized, by requesting that they send in these compliance documents, and our staff, now there's a unit in our staff that deals with a federation liaison, as well as Ms. Kim Popo, who deals with her commission that deals with federation membership liaison and stakeholder liaison. With regards to the safeguarding policies, yes, that's part of our criteria, and some of those eight members did not have one, and some of them still do not have one, and we are willing to work with all of them to ensure that they develop these safeguarding policies, but also implement the safeguarding systems to ensure the protection of our athletes and the people involved in sports. The outstanding questions, Ms. Van Dyk, if that is the case, I was on the impression that we did send in the questions, necessary documents to you. I will now revert to the staff and to the office to see if there's any outstanding documentation that we need to send in to you. And if that is the case, we do apologize for not sending in all of the documents, but I did know at that one stage when we gave the commitment of 10 days that I'd followed up with the staff, and I know that documents were sent in to the portfolio committee, but we'll follow up on that one. Who do not have safeguarding policies? It's essentially part of those eight, but we can follow up on the exact number and to see who have complied and who have not complied, and you can send that in to you as well. Put that down as a reply, as a reply as well. As this also applies to the audited financial statements, we can forward that in as a written reply to you as well. We provide constant assistance to the federations. I'm in constant contact with the National Federation's presidents. We have a president's group where we constantly send out information and messages so that we maintain our relationships. Kim Popel and her commission are constantly inundated with questions around federations and the assistance that we can provide to federations. And we are committed to grow sport in South Africa using the vehicle of communication. But we are always honest with the federations. We've assisted them on some occasions in more ways than one, and we intend to do so so that sport can grow in South Africa. I've covered the issue of Chess South Africa. That is now, because of a decision by the incumbents, they have now taken us to court, and that matter is now, we've already ordered our papers and our replies, and that matter is now a court matter. And I don't want to commit SASCOC because I don't want to influence that process, and therefore it's not litigated. The legal fees, this is ongoing. You can see now Chess has taken us to court, and we now unfortunately have to spend money on legal fees. We would have preferred to have sat down with them and the reverse delegates and all its members to resolve the matter, but that process has now unfolded. And we, if so desired, we can send in a written response with regards to how much we have spent currently, because there are other matters that we're dealing with, such as the staff legal matters, as well as the legacy issue of the members that were fired from SASCOC a few years ago. Because that is also still ongoing, and that has been a point of concern for us. We don't know what the costs of the federations are. You know that rugby went into litigation at one stage, football, and as well as a few other organizations, even netball. We have not requested from them their legal costs, and I don't think it is our place to request that from them, as well over and above their financial statements. After suspension, do we assist? Definitely. We have meetings with our members, ongoing meetings with our members. We ensure that their competitions take place. We do not hamper or want to influence negatively the development and competitions. So we encourage them to continue, but we also insist that in order to be recognized as a full member of SASCOC, that they comply to our guidelines. The transfer of money, that is not SASCOC's to federations. SASCOC does not transfer money. That's the Department of Sports, Arts and Cultures responsibility. Yes, we are concerned with the performance of athletes, and as I've mentioned, we've now launched Operation Excellence, OPEX, with the assistance of our sponsor Bidvest, and we've identified athletes for that through three tiers, and we are now going to work with those federations, as I said, in the build-up to Paris, but more importantly in the build-up to Los Angeles 2028. Honorable Mtetwa, it's so good at some stage to hear a compliment about the work we are doing, because we have really turned this organization around. And yes, there are issues that we need to improve on and assist our federations. But in terms of our mandate and in terms of a lot of the issues that have happened in the past, we are now really working well with the department and with our federations. And I hope with the portfolio committee as well as the minister's office, to have an open door policy to contact him whenever there's an issue. So thank you. We really appreciate being recognized for some of the good work that we do as well. I'm not clear about the issues of boxing and the appointment of a boxing coordinator. We need to check on the website, Honorable Mshlongo. However, you know now that we've appointed a CEO, we've appointed a company secretary, we've appointed a finance manager as well as a bookkeeper. Two sport coordinators have started in the high performance units. And then on the 11th of September, if all goes well, we bring in our marketing manager into SASCOP. So as an organization, we are growing. One of our key strategies was to strengthen ourselves before we can strengthen others. But in the meanwhile, we not only focus on ourselves, we focus on our federations and help them as much as we can. But with the advent of all of these people, because those persons have provided greater stability to the organization, greater accountability, and we are now able to perform our work better as a better professional organization as well. I've covered the relationship with federations. When it came to the SAFA matter, yes, even with the cricket matter and with netball matters and with and rugby matters, I am in constant contact with the federations, but our key policy is not to get involved in matters that the federation can resolve themselves. And most of the matters are internal, and according to our own policies, we require that the federation resolve internally first, and if that can't be done, then following the Sports and Recreation Act, as well as our own dispute mechanisms, then only can SASCOP get involved, and as well as the department. So yes, we do. We are in constant contact with the organizations, and we allow them to carry out their internal processes first in relation to the international bodies and their own members and their own boards as well. And SAFA, in terms of their status, yes, they are a member in good standing. With regards to BRICS, we welcome the BRICS as well as now the new BRICS Plus advent. In fact, a year or two ago, probably 1.5 years ago, I met with the president of the Saudi Arabia Olympic Committee, who also happens to be the Minister of Sport in Saudi Arabia and also the a prince in the royal family. And they were quite keen then already to develop a relationship with the National Olympic Committee. And we are quite keen to work with all partners of government to try and develop sport, because it enables us for our athletes to meet other athletes, enables our coaches to meet other coaches, technical officials and administrators, and then for our athletes to hopefully participate and engage. So one of our key thrusts was to develop memorandums of understanding, first with the Zone 6, which is the Southern African countries, all 10 of them, and we signed a few memorandums with them already. And the next thing is to expand to Africa, but then to other countries that can provide us with meaningful assistance as well. And yes, the BRICS component is one of those components that we are looking at developing relationships with. Because if you look at those super houses of sport that belong to BRICS, it will be a meaningful addition to assisting us to develop our athletes and our sport. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, President. I don't know whether your CFO and any other colleagues who are under your leadership, they don't want to say something. I'm allowing them that anyone who wants to say something, they must. Thank you, President.
And yes, if there's anyone, board members or staff members want to add, please feel free.
President, I just want to thank you. I just want to indicate that the adverts that they were talking about on our website, because we are able to share all information with our membership, so we do sometimes put adverts from members of SASCOP when they want to employ them. So it's an advert where as gymnastics and boxing are looking for people, so they're using our platform to be able to attract people that are qualified or skilled for those positions. So that's why it's in our website. So it's got nothing to do with SASCOP, but except that it's a platform that is being used for them. And then I think just to confirm, in terms of safeguarding, we've got 81 federations that are in compliance. And then in terms of the AFs that we're talking about, it's the same thing. All of them have submitted audited financial statements. It's looking green all the way. and we're really delighted in terms of our federation wrapping their best around those issues. I think those are just two things that I wanted to talk to. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Anyone else? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. I'm suspecting today Ustaskok and our department, so many members declared to see what President we are saying, that the collaboration and the working together, it's shown with your presentation, and many members are confirming that. I'm suspecting in this now, I would love that to tell you, honourable members, and the department, and honourable president, with your entire speech, I'm taking this opportunity to thank you that you prepared it, give us presentation very earlier. We do appreciate, keep up that good work, because we need to interact. But as Honorable Mhlongo has just said, that there are no questions that you cannot ask when you are here. And that's how we are going to learn and give support in those words. I'm declaring this meeting closed. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.